Facebook, so she had it. Are you ready, Joe? I will call this meeting to order, Tuesday, November 13th, school board meeting. Irene, can you determine the quorum, please?
Marla Konski.
Here.
Cheryl Fire.
Excuse.
Jay Lister.
Here.
Katie Hogan.
Here.
Sarah Holmgren.
I am sure she's moments away.
Okay.
Marla Holm.
Here.
All right, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda. Is there a second?
A second.
Second is by Katie Holmgren. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Moving on. Tonight we have a student presentation from the elementary teachers Eliza Wormack and Carrie Curtis, and they will be providing us an overview of Stedman Elementary's Science Night that was held just a few weeks ago. And assisting in the presentation tonight for you listeners at home will be students Ari Wormack, Adara Curtis, and Anya Curtis.
So Anya,
just Anya. No,
congratulations.
So welcome to you speak in front of us, so you can go up to the mic and use the pedestal. You guys are on.
Hello, thank you for having me. So our Title I status comes along with some requirements that are actually really great ideas. We've done science nights in the past, and Terry wanted to bring back this idea as a way to connect with families and have some fun. We came up with the idea to hold the science night around Halloween, and it was the teachers that really stepped up and made it spectacular. They had fabulous ideas and worked together to create engaging experiences for families. The parents enjoyed watching their children having fun, and we all learned together. The students were well-behaved and super happy to have their parents with them at this event. So we definitely want to do this again, and we have to also thank the pilot and KFSK for covering it so well. The photos were really great. And next up is Ari Wormack here to give a student and volunteer perspective. Take it away, son.
Testing. Is this on?
It says you're on.
Just over the radio. It's not throughout the room.
So ah.
We gotcha.
Good. All right. Is this being broadcasted?
Yeah, it is.
Yes! Hope this gets on. Science Night was a great experience and allowed many students to be exposed to robotics at one of its highest levels, the warmth of different animal coverings, surface tension, and of course, everybody's favorite, baking soda volcanoes. I helped set up and manned a table full of books about the sciencey subjects that each room was experimenting with. Also, kids got to make and take home some slime, and here's Mrs. C and her daughter.
Thank you, Ari.
Well,
it was a fabulous turnout. We had more than we expected, I think. tons of kids and their families. I was in the room with the other kindergarten teacher and first grade teachers, and we were making slime. We tried to keep track of how many bags of slime we sent home, over 120, so that we were busy making slime for 2 hours. hour and a half, or however long it was. That being said, the teachers walked in that night not knowing how to make slime. Mm-hmm. So we had to enroll my daughter and my eldest daughter and a couple of her middle school friends to teach the teachers before we had to teach the guests how to make slime. So it was very fun. And I heard the next day, not only on Facebook from parents about reaching out and just thanking us for doing such a thing. And then my students were so excited. And students I'd had in the past that they got to hang out with me again a little bit. And it was just really, really awesome. And Eliza mentioned the teachers, but her behind-the-scenes work, too. It was a lot of work for her, I know, to put it together. Kind of a last-minute, let's get this done. And it was very successful. So we had a lot of fun. And Anya made some slime just moments ago. She wanted to share it with you guys so you can go let them feel the slime. We kind of had fun, and it's a three-ingredient slime. Elmer's glue, baking soda, and contact solution that we would put in a pinch of goblin toenails, and you know, because of the Halloween theme, it was pretty fun. So fun was had by all, and I think we are all in our lab coats, all the staff, and we were all sweating and exhausted by the end of the night, but it was very fun. So, yeah, and I didn't get to go to the other rooms, so maybe I want to talk a little more about, you know, Mr. and Volcanoes.
And we just brought two examples of the posters that Mary Ellen made, and she also had books set out on all out front of all the rooms that students and parents could check out if they were interested in that topic. And she had put these together, and everyone just did a wonderful job doing this.
Awesome.
You're a wonderful man. We know you're
and food. Oh, it's a key to get people to
that's
come.
Right.
That's
right.
Yes. Yes. Offer food up. And even corn dogs.
That's right.
A science night was an overall pleasure to be a part of.
Oh, good job, buddy.
You enjoyed it.
Absolutely nice immaculate event.
Love it. Thanks, Ari.
So yes, thank you very much to the staff of Stedman Elementary for putting that on. I think just evidence of the amount of parents and grandparents and guardians that showed up, it was just something that our community really enjoys. So thanks for putting in those extra hours outside of your school day, and it was really fun, and I hope that we have more events like that in the future. So. All right, we will move into our student representative report. Our new school board student rep is Maria Funt. She is a member of the high school. Junior class?
Yes.
Junior at the high school. And in the future, Maria will give us a report tonight, maybe a little bit about just a little bit about yourself and maybe how school is going so far. But in the future, we will be highlighting a little bit more of student voice. We'll be asking Maria to kind of report on specific topics outside of just our agenda at future meetings so that we can really start to get a feel for what the students are feeling about certain topics or programs that we have in the school. So, Maria, why don't you say a few things about yourself, maybe, and how school has gone so far?
Okay. My name is Maria Flint, and this year has been pretty great so far. We have a whole new ASB board, which has Jillian Woodstock, Jack Byer, Josh Coonrad, Peter Kowalski, and Maddie Whitethorn. We haven't had a full meeting yet, but we do have one planned for next Tuesday. A few things we've been looking at is changing how we do the class presentations and like choosing class officials, because we wanted to change how that happens. We are looking to improve some things in the gym. The Viking and Valkyrie banners are looking a little bit used and worn, so we're looking to improve those. I'm involved in swimming and track and dance, and so far throughout the school year, swimming and cross country have already completed their seasons. Swim just got done with their state meet, which was a lot of fun, where we had Peter, Allie, myself, and Alyssa all competed, as well as Madison Whitethorn. I know the cross country did really well this year, and I know that volleyball and wrestling are looking forward to completing their seasons, which they're right in the middle of. Volleyball is going into regions this week, so we're all really excited to see how that goes.
Better. Thank you. Thank you very much for volunteering your time to serve on our board and to serve on the ASB group at school as well. It's important for you guys to take leadership roles in high school, and we're happy to hand over some important topics for you. Great. Correspondence? Irene, is there any correspondence?
No.
Okay. Any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items this evening? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items this evening? Any comments from board members? All right. So consent agenda, I move that we approve the consent agenda, which includes October 2018 monthly accounting report, bills, payroll, and electronic fund transfers, as well as the 2018 regular meeting minutes, special meeting minutes, and extra duty contracts for Mikhail Petruski for high school boys basketball varsity assistant, Jim Ingle for the high school varsity baseball, Jeffrey Davison for middle school wrestling, Rebecca Stephenson for high school cheer assistant, Cindy Fry for school-wide play director, Heidi Cabral for a half-split auditorium manager, and Rick Dormer for a half-split auditorium manager as well, and Rick Dormer for the high school student government advisor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah Holmgren. No discussion. All in favor of the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. All right. Administrative reports. We will begin with Superintendent Cleve.
Thank you. I know it's on the agenda for later, and I'm sure Sarah, Mara, and Jay will have some comments, but we just returned from the AASB conference in Anchorage, and as always, it's a pleasure to travel with this crew, and just want to acknowledge all of the additional time that our board members do put into these kind of activities, because we know it takes away from your own families and your own work at times and all of those things, so we really do appreciate it, and there were some great sessions, and we had some just good conversations all around and in between things too, which is always kind of a fun thing, so I won't steal any other thunder about topics. We are gearing up for a monitoring visit that's coming up in December for all of our federal programs, and which is our American Education Title I, which was just kind of an example of some of those activities. So those are some of the requirements, and basically there are state officials that come in and want to know how we're doing, you know, to meet these different indicators for different grant programs. So that's happening in December. We're preparing for that. I appreciate Mrs. Tolan's help on that. Ms. Warmack is doing a lot of gathering of materials. Always involves Ms. Quitzlin for the financial components. And anyway, lots of hands. Carly Johnson helps just pulling lots of information together. So we're pretty busy working on that as well. We spent some time this morning with John, is our tech director, is kind of helping us continue to lead forward through all of this Crisis Go app, and we talked a little bit about it, I think showed you last year, and it'll come up again when we do have our emergency preparedness meeting, but it has some additional features that we're hoping to roll out, and actually we'd like to probably spend some more time working with ASB students on this too. There's a bullying reporting component to it, and it's an anonymous reporting tool, and some other, you know, components that way too. So we're moving forward with that. Lots of features to that. Some things we're not too sure about, and some things that are a little bit overwhelming, but there's a lot of bells and whistles to it, but it's a way of communicating. It can involve reaching out to parents, sending out alerts to students, all kinds of different features. So we will keep you up to date on that. We had a wellness meeting last week, our first one, and kind of a follow-up to Mrs. Toland and Ms. Johnson and Ms. Evans, who went up to the Wellness Institute in Anchorage a couple weeks ago. And that's a follow-up to some of the Healthy Living Grant activities that we've done over the last years and a new grant that we have. So we're actually moving forward with that. I thinking about some before and after school activities that we might want to work with, and maybe that's it. We had a really good turnout at that meeting. We had a lot of people there from, we had several people from the hospital, which was really good, and a lot of good partnerships that actually came out of that. I mean, we actually have two things that we may end up doing, some more trauma-informed instruction for staff came out of that. Phil was here, the CEO from the hospital, and it was good, good partnerships, I think, that are continuing. So, as always, a thank you to Ms. Evans for all of her work on that, keeping all of that going, and for Terry and Carly for stepping up to round out that team. We appreciate it. Participated in a career technical education presentation that we did when Mr. Owens went up to the CTE conference. That's vocational education. And technology. He went up with actually John. They went up a couple weeks ago, and they presented at the conference about talking about the whole link between between technology, between vocational education and the importance of it, and just options for career down the road and different routes for certification. So it was a good presentation. And then I chimed in as just talking about the kind of financial support piece and ways that we've done that in some creative ways with our migrant funding, or, you know, purchasing the plasma cutter last year with that, and, you know, having some different creative ways to get kids involved in thinking about their future and some options that they might have. And I don't want to steal Mr. Drummer's thunder, but I just want to acknowledge Cindy Fry's work on the transition camp that was held here over in-service days. She is pretty incredible, for those of you that don't know her, but she's the special ed teacher here and works with the alternative program at the high school. And she, people come and they do things with her and they want to steal her. And we're like, no, you can't take her. So they really do want her to come present at their conference. And that's a conference for students with special needs who are looking to check out different kinds of jobs and what they might want to do in the future, and it's all very organized and coordinated. They have speakers. Sarah, I think, came in as a speaker for the real estate and financial, or they go back, I think they went to see Jasmine, learned about acupuncture, and just things out there in the community and financial components and planning for the future. So she's pretty darn amazing, and Bridget Woodstock as well, for helping to coordinate that. So some kudos for people. I think that's it for me.
Okay, great. Moving into the elementary principal's report, Mrs. Terry Tolan.
Good evening. I'll start off by saying Science Night was a lot of fun, and I need to publicly thank Mrs. Wormack and all of the teachers for pulling that together and doing such a fabulous job. And of course, our students and families for coming and participating. It was a fun event, and I'm sure we'll have more. I attended the principal's conference with Principal Dormer, and I'm sure he'll agree that it was a worthwhile experience. It always is good to go and rub shoulders and focus on leadership and get ideas from other schools, hear from guest speakers that have some marvelous ideas. At the Health and Wellness Conference, I have to report that we are leading the way in the state, and they like to call us their golden child, and that really has to do with all the hard work that has gone into that from Mrs. Evans and Erica, and it's just been a good partnership, a lot of people working on that, but it was nice to see how far we've come with that. On our in-service days, the elementary focused on Linda Mood Bell and visualizing and verbalization training. And that is a program that helps students to be able to picture in their mind what's being read or what they're reading, and then be able to describe it. So it really does make comprehension more accessible for them, and it does help a lot of struggling readers as well as readers who are doing fine but just need to have a little more visualization and verbalization. So as far as things coming up, we are planning to send conference slips on this Thursday. And so if there are any changes that you need to make, please contact Sina at the office and we'll accommodate that. Then report cards go on home on Friday. Our conferences are from 3 to 8 on Monday and 1:20 till 8 o'clock on Tuesday. And then there's no school on Wednesday. We'll return after the Thanksgiving holiday on November 26th. And then once we return, there is a migrant family night, and that will be held on November 28th. That's Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30 at the school. We'll send out information and flyers. We have Zumba for the kids, and then Carly Johnson and Carly Beyer and Eliza have a lot of information they'd like to share with families and parents during that time and get some feedback so that we can be providing services to our migrant families and making it their program. So excited about that. Then it's the holidays. So, are there any questions? Okay, thanks.
All right, moving into the middle school and high school principal's report, Mr. Rick Dormer.
Thanks, Maria. Nice job on your first report. Welcome. It's a great ASB group. We talked a little bit about that last meeting, getting them together soon, really. But it's a great group of leaders. They met today, and we've met previously, but next Tuesday is the big one. We get everybody, all the class presidents together, the exec board, Maria, some of our other reps. So it'll be fun, and you see we've already tasked them with some pretty big things. You heard, in fact, Maria just kind of leaked this idea that we've been, actually the superintendent gladly pointed out that the Viking, the Valkyrie are awesome and powerful and are well worn out and need to be replaced up in the gym. So that's kind of a cool project, and of course, we all have our own ideas, but we want the kids to kind of lead this, so we're going to do that, Mr. Cabral. I know we've talked to Mr. Brock and a lot of people spend a lot of time, but we want the kids to kind of lead it and come up with some different ideas. And, you know, Mr. Cabral will lead a lot of that, with that being a lot of his domain, with the activities and just recognizing achievements, but also being proud Vikings. And what does that look like? And our gym is, I think Mr. Brock said when he started, Coach Rick Brock, when he started, I think he said the gym, there were those two huge pictures and a clock. And that was like it, which that's way before my time. I just kind of think that how far we've come, and I'm looking at Dan Tate over here in the maintenance and the clean and these new banners and just recognizing student achievements and just how much the Vikings have done over the years. So that's up, and we're always, yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. Lots of stuff that ASB is doing, so that was off my notes. But yeah, in-service was great, and we enjoyed our time in the secondary. We had some of our teachers, our language arts and special education, go over and do the Linda Boo Bell, which was awesome, and they got a lot out of that, and that was cool. Over here, having a partial staff, I had a couple things in my pocket that we wanted to get to. One of them we did, and I know Terry wants to do also, was the multi-generational workplace that we got actually a full year ago at the principal's conference from a counselor who's her PhD. It's a really fun, and again, I can't really take credit for the creation of it, but it's a really fun presentation on comparing our workplace, which is our baby boomers, and our Gen X, which is my folks. And then, of course, we have our... I'm blanking out.
Millennials.
Thank you. Sorry, millennials. It was fun because, especially this year, having a couple of them with Mick and Jenna Turner, our counselor, and our new soul switches are very young, and we still have some other, you know, we talk about Dan Brent Swearage and some of our younger crew, but we are well represented. Mr. Troutman sat right where Joe is, and represented the baby boomer strong, and as he's looking at his last year teaching. But it's fun just to recognize our differences and, of course, our commonalities and what it looks like to have a just a multi-general workplace. It's a fun presentation. So we did that for a piece. I took a combo of a couple. One of the speakers, Terry and I both saw. It was real powerful. I wrote a book called Bold School, which is old school, still has its place in teaching, but then some of the new trends with technology and et cetera, and kind of merging that to be the best teacher possible. But I took some of his and a couple other my presentation just made one I call Teaching is Awesome, and just recognize that just all of us in education are sometimes under fire for not being good enough, apparently, and, you know, we're ratings just coming out, and I think we all did fine, but they don't look as glowing as we'd like, and I just recognize we are doing great. He starts his presentation with the graduation rate in the United States in 1910 is 8%, and Petersburg High School was in the low 40%. Low 90%. 90%. Sorry, visualizing. Yeah, 92, 93 this year, or the year before we were about 91%, so again, we are doing great. great things for kids and always trying to do better. So teachers do a great job, and it was a fun presentation. Talk about some of the stats and teaching kids to be learners all the time. Lots of cool stuff. It was fun. We also did some ed camps, which is a fun way, just a thing, and the superintendents led some of those as well, and that's a fun trend just to have teachers kind of sign up for some ideas, different topics, and then they can self-select groups and talk about what they want to talk about, and then they report back everything from talking about alternative program ideas to using mindfulness in the classroom, and some of them wanted some tech help on their Canvas. So a lot of different small group sessions you can walk through, so really beneficial, and then they share back what they talked about. So it's nice because we have so many local experts. And then we worked a little bit on curriculum, of course, so lots going on for secondary. It was fun. And then it wasn't in my notes. I mean, I went in there and I saw Mayor Jensen was in there too, which is great, and I saw Sarah. Thank you. So many community members came in to present. I was so busy in here with in-service that I barely got to be part of that, but that is a great thing for our kids. The second year, I believe, we've done that transition camp for those students to transition out of high school and make some plans as they look to enter the workforce there. So it's a really great thing. Cindy and Bridget, and they brought a couple experts down, one from Juneau and one from Anchorage, and that was very powerful with the kids. And how cool for our kids so into learning and so trusting of our staff that they come in on their days off, and they had a great time. But you know, they weren't in there, you know, making lollipops or anything. They were learning and working together, and it wasn't easy for them, and they came in, and again, trusting our staff enough to come in and have a good experience. So that's cool. And again, thank you to so many of our just amazing people in the community that will share their amazingness with our students. It's cool. Also going on, I'm not going to talk much because I believe next school board, but migrant, we're talking about Carly Johnson and Carly Beyer are working, you know, tandem with the migrant. We were able to go on a short trip, and they took, Carly led a group of high school students up to tour UAA and also UAF recently using migrant funds for some of our migrant students. And again, just a different type of a transition, but, you know, transitioning to the college world and giving them a leg up and a kind of view of some potential great places to learn. So that was fun, and you're going to hear more about that, I believe, next board meeting. So it's cool stuff for kids. Great stuff for our community and really the entire district, and I could not list everybody, but I really enjoyed the Veterans Day Assembly. I hope if you were able to come, you enjoyed that. I hope the community and especially our veterans just know how much, just what wonderful kids we have, and they were able to take time and their teachers prepare them to honor our veterans and what they do for our country. So thank you. There are so many people from our maintenance to our tech people, to our teachers. Mr. Ingalls always plays a big part, and to put on, obviously, the superintendent's leadership and Terry. We all work together hard, and I feel like it's a great performance. So thank you to so many people to make that go over smoothly. Cool stuff. Also fun, a celebration. The Macomb Middle School had their first activity night last Friday? Yeah, I had to put it all together in my head. Lots been going on. And it was fun. We had a good time. That's, you know, the student council, we do it the first three quarters just to celebrate, and it's just 2 hours, and there's a dance, and there's they open a room where they do Just Dance, so kids dance and with the controllers and kind of a fun. If you can do video games, that's the way to do it. Get them sweating in there and working out. And then the gym's open, of course, and I think Mr. Petruski went up to the mat room, and they play a little, you know, little happy fun ball up there. So lots of fun things. The kids were dancing and moving and jumping around, and I think they really had a good time. It seemed like they had a lot of fun. So a lot of teachers giving up their time for that, but the kids had fun and a great celebration. So, and that's a good student council also. We have two really great student councils in both buildings, and they lead that and decorate it and figure out all logistics and what's going to happen. So that was great stuff. Just today, Mrs. Fry, working with a robotics class, we talked a little bit about that. They're prepping up for their competition coming early December. Today, she's had this kind of dream for a month now because of robotics, and she gets her nerd brain going on, and they all get together, and they met with and talked, Skyped in with an astronaut today. And that was kind of a cool thing they've been talking about, and they did it. So they did it. It was a little bit in the class, a little bit over lunch, and so the kids were able to go in there and talk and ask questions and meet with a real astronaut. I wasn't in there. I was pulled away, but cool stuff. My son was in there, so it was fun. So neat. Love it. Great experience for our kids. And then, of course, we love to talk to parents and love it when they come in, both high school, middle school, elementary school, as Ms. Tolan said. So conferences for the secondary world, Monday is 4 to 8 p.m. and Tuesday is 3 to 8 p.m. And please come in. And if you're really crucial and you want to set up an appointment, you can call either of the offices. But please, parents, we'd love to see you. We only have two conferences a year, and we'd love to talk to you. So that's coming up. And then we get a nice break for Thanksgiving and some rest. Much deserved rest for everybody. Any questions for me? Thank you.
All right. Looks like we will move into the Director of Maintenance report, Mr. Dan Tate.
Good
Good evening. I'm kind of surprised that no one put in a maintenance request to get rid of this blustery weather. Should I get right on that?
You'll have some maintenance requests tomorrow.
I'd like to jump right in and thank Carl Hagerman and the Power and Light crew for helping us solve some exterior lighting issues up on the big poles, something that we can't readily get to. So again, thanks to them for making things a little more safer around here. The maintenance department has been spending its fall catching up on deferred items from the summer due to this year's intensive summer construction schedule. These items include boiler maintenance, HVAC air handler maintenance, domestic hot water maker maintenance, pump maintenance, and bleacher seat replacement. These are items that are typically done during the summer months, but due to requests for major construction projects this past summer, we had to defer those accordingly. But we're nearly caught up now, and a lot of that thanks goes to Rands McIntosh. On a similar note, a boiler technician was in town for our biannual boiler tuning checkup, and that was last week. And I'm very pleased to report that, again, that our boilers were found to be operating at near peak efficiency and only required minor adjustments that are beyond our own capabilities. At what we call low fire, all four of our boilers are operating at 88% efficiency. And at high fire, which is like running at full throttle on your cold, blustery days, 85%. Your fuel oil boilers generally can't do much better than that. So I'm really proud of that. One outstanding item of note is the installation of the new doors to the gym. Current projections put this possibly at the holidays, depending on manpower availability. One thing to consider is my staff is eligible for vacation time at that time of year, and they are generally limited from taking large chunks during the summer. So if they want to go, I tend to let them go on vacation at that time. Also, work days are actually quite few during the two-week break as they're broken up by the holidays themselves. But nevertheless, this is a good goal, and hopefully it won't be upstaged by any other district needs or responsibilities. On the administrative front, I am continuing to work through the approved CIP reimbursement documentation that has to be submitted to the Department of Education and Early Development for payment as time allows. The district has four projects that were completed in 2015 and 16 that will be reimbursed, and two more projects which are construction projects slated for this summer. The underground fuel storage tank replacement project was approved late last summer. We are currently talking with the engineering firm that did the initial research and planning for that project. They will finalize construction documents so that can go out to bid sometime in the next few months. This is a project that will dig up and remove the 35-year-old fuel tank that is in the middle school lawn and replace it with a new one. The other construction project is the food service renovation project that will complete the catering kitchen at the high school and completely renovate the kitchen facility at the elementary school. The bidding process is wrapping up with a bid opening tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the architectural firm JYL in Juneau. The district will then evaluate the bids and choose a contractor in short order. A three-week dispute period will follow before pre-construction planning can start. The district is interested in working with the soon-to-be-selected contractor on a potential early start in April. And the district has had experience with large construction projects during the school year, particularly with the 2014 remodel at the elementary school. Lastly, the superintendent asked that I provide an update on the ongoing playground and park project at the elementary school. First of all, it is important to note that the district was at a crossroads. Nearly all the playground equipment had reached the end of their useful life. The district hired a consultant who was not affiliated by any playground manufacturer to do those inspections. Furthermore, any new construction would have to include inclusive play areas to meet the American with Disabilities Act requirements for the mobility challenged. It became clear very quickly that the costs associated with such an endeavor are quite high. Constructing two ADA playgrounds at the elementary was not financially realistic. Furthermore, the space at the library end would only allow one or two pieces of equipment due to current code regulations for the playgrounds. Also, it was determined long ago that a playground on the library end is very disruptive to the library itself. Think of the number of kickballs that have bounced off the windows and siding over many decades, and then you'll have your answer. The district also hired an architect and held advertised community meetings to gather insight into a master plan for the land around the elementary school. And for those listening, it has just been projected up onto the screen for those in attendance to look at. Committees were also formed with interested community members and parents and staff to help develop and refine those said plans. The project is being done in stages and being done in-house as much as possible to keep construction costs manageable. It is the district's intention to continue yearly progress alongside the other district priorities. Some years will see moderate growth, and others will have smaller changes as manpower and finances allow. We also know there will be growing pains and unforeseen issues. The district stands ready to hear the concerns from the community and our parents and is working with staff and will work with our school kids as well to meet those needs that are not being currently addressed. So if you, the board, have any questions, I'm going to invite my colleagues to help answer them as we each take a different perspective on this very large project.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see moving to next?
That is a big question because we're going to try to do, well, we are going to do our food service renovation project this summer, and the area around the playground, the current playground, is going to have to be used for staging, and it may be closed down during the summer. So we would probably try to put some of our efforts into the library end. But we also have to take into account that we're going to try to do the fuel tank project as well, so manpower issues and, you know, it could be very difficult to get a lot done this summer outside of those two major projects.
Is the fuel tank going to be replaced with an underground one again, mm-hmm. instead of an above
tank? Yep, this one will be a double-walled tank. Mm-hmm. The one that's in there now is single-walled.
Can you also talk improvement funds for pardon? Some of this, or all of it, or none of it? Mm-hmm.
If Mr. Cabral was here this evening, he would probably comment that he would like to look at the interior areas of the track. He mentioned some of that earlier today in a discussion.
So, like in the short term.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and a couple of thoughts. So you can see that if, for those people out listening, but people here, the track, I mean, the Field of Dreams conversation, I mean, this is my, 19th year here, 18th year here. We've been talking about it for 18 years, so before I die, it's going to happen here. But this conversation about the area out in our track back there, and there's been a lot of people who have tried to do some, you know, work with that space, but we really would like to have that space be something that, you know, kids can do more with. So that's kind of that artificial turf conversation, which the turf, of course, is not the really the biggest issue. It's really the fill and the rock, and of course, as we know, and that. So talking with Parks and Rec about that, also talking with different people in the community, I think that whole area could be something that we really, as a, you know, that could be a huge community area for, I mean, talking with people from hospital, getting people out on the track walk, you know, making it an area that's a little bit more accessible and usable. So again, it's just, we're just going to keep going with our Field of Dreams. But so there's that conversation. The other one is some of our middle school students have been sad, which we understand, that they're, you know, the play structure, which had to be moved down to the other end because we had to make it, needed to make it and wanted to make it accessible and safe. So we have, you know, moved it down and put the correct foam underneath it. So one of the things that the kids really have talked about missing is swings. And some of the part of the plan was to have, and here you jump in too, you guys, but part of the plan down here was always to have a, you know, this is kind of this nature area, like an area for kids to be able to play in, I mean, and, you know, explore different kinds of things in that area, but also to have swings like the like bench type, almost like porch swings, for lack of a better term, but to have those type of swings there. You can see there's kind of an area for an outdoor classroom to be able to do things right here. So there's that, but again, we're open to, you know, the middle school kids have some pretty good ideas about things, and that's good. I mean, I think they're trying to work through ASB. They're having some ideas and thoughts about it. They also are understanding there's things that some things we can't do and some things we can, and things cost money, but it's all, you know, there is part of a larger plan. So we're certainly open to, you know, hearing those kind of thoughts and ideas.
Are we going to allow, as this all comes together, are kids going to have free access to going around to, like, the track area in this corner?
Yes.
What's your plan for sight lines then, or having enough staff out there?
That's part of the issue. Okay. Yeah, we have to, that's a whole other part of the conversation too, is exactly what you're saying. So whether it's line of sight, how much do we have to have, how far can they go, wanting to make this, that's part of the, also the part of the reason of wanting to make this be a bit more accessible without big pits that they're going to fall, you know, that area out in the track is pretty dangerous. So, I mean, anyway, so that wanting to make it an area that they can get into more, and also the same back in here, you know, this area next to the school, there's a lot, the kids love to play in that area, so it's mostly a supervision issue and figuring out how to do that. Yeah, just supervision.
Don't get rid of the trees.
No,
the
trees.
Trees. Oh,
never. Leave the trees.
Oh, no, I'm just the trees. I'm for sight.
We like the trees.
That's called tree decks for overlook.
I know.
We can just overwatch.
We've managed to keep a lot of them in here, too.
Just bringing it to our construction area, and then where's the fuel tank going to be? Is it?
It's in the middle school.
That's over by the middle school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the tank on the end of the elementary school is, that's about only about.
Right about there.
That's about a 8-year-old project, right?
Yeah, it's not that old.
So if they start this in April, where are they going to have the kids play, or where are you planning the kids play this spring and stuff?
We'll move them around.
Yeah, because we're starting this renovation.
We plan to be adaptive. And
we're
Principal
Tolan. Yeah, we're planning to do this cafeteria and kitchen over in the middle high school before we do the elementary, but it's quite possible that we will be mobilizing and doing some work during the school year like we did when we pulled all the sides off for the renovation, and we just adapt.
And it's possible that construction materials may show up, and we will try to place them accordingly so that we can continue. Again, we'll try to be adaptive to the situation.
Yeah, which we've done before.
And that gravel service drive, is that just for food service? Is that what that...
Right here?
It's a fire lane.
Right here.
Right there, the gravel service drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to be a fire lane so they responders can get to the back side of the building.
Oh, okay.
And kids could play in that area, too, because this is also where the
freezer
is, and it's going to be removed. Yes, and so one thought that's come out of that, though, is that there's also a cement, you know, cement is
expensive
and at a premium. That is on a pad. So this area right here with this tire swing, we have some thoughts about maybe even thinking about what we might do with that pad, if there's a way to reuse it or even nine square or four square. Or, you know, again, kids will have thoughts and ideas about that, too.
With the kitchen renovation, is that building going to be kicked out at all?
No. It's all being done within the interior.
It's not growing at all. Okay.
The cafeteria?
Yeah.
No. No. We're all
not expanding the size.
No, but we are, if you remember from those the original documents, we are, though, the whole area at the end of the cafeteria, you know, in here where the storage area is right now, that, you know, that's the stage. Remember, we're going to have the area where you can actually have a little stage there, and then the way we're getting more room is by bumping the kitchen becomes that classroom that's right next door to it. That becomes the kitchen. So there's a room right between the kindergarten room and the cafeteria now. So that classroom becomes a kitchen, which means the whole space that's in the cafeteria right now becomes cafeteria space, like seating space.
No more kitchen area.
There's not a kitchen area in there anymore.
Middle schoolers, where do they? Where do you let them run now? I mean,
that's a good question. One of the comments we hear is that they used to play a lot right there in front of the library, and they play on the playground, they play on the swings, and kind of the message we tell the kids pretty often is that playground was not for middle school kids. The eighth graders look stupid. It looks like me playing on there. You know, they just look out of place. They're too big. They're actually also bigger than me. So it's not, you know, and they were kind of a guest there on that type of, that was oversized. And the swings were awesome, but that those type of style swings just aren't safe anymore.
Those had to go regardless of whether we changed them.
Those
were on our list.
So the goal there is really just that big open field there. Right now they play under the covered play area, as we always have, and then they're playing right off the play area before the track, there before it gets mucky right there. But we really just need a big place. They're going to throw the football, they're going to chase each other, they're going to scream and, you know, and be middle school kids at recess like they should. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, and we can push that to be a next priority, is trying to get that big open area so they can have more place to play. But right now they play on the track and that gravel area and the covered area right now.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have a nice field for them to run.
That'd be awesome, yeah. They'd be well used.
Yeah. And I think, like, we were even talking today in admin about this. You know, part of it, too, is the kids, when they're, you know, it's what they're used to, right? Like, this is what they knew. They came through this elementary school. This was, you know, so it's change, right? So it's different. Nobody asked us about it, you know, and that, which we understand. I mean, we get it, you know. So they have thoughts. They have ideas. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can ask the ASBs what their next priority is so we know where to...
And certainly taking that into account, for sure, absolutely. There's some things that we learned during this process, of course, with architects and all that, too, where things can be and how far they have to be from buildings and how much of the safety surfacing you have to have and all that sort of thing. And I will say it has been really nice to see some of our kids that do have special needs and have assistive equipment. They are... all over down here. I mean, they are underneath, and lots of positive comments about that play equipment being underneath the covered area, which has been really nice.
It's really nice that it's really well lit, too.
Especially,
now that it's dark at 3:30.
Yeah, so kids can't, and there's kind of expands out that light, and there's things to do then. You're still outside playing in that area and hanging out. So, growth, change, transition.
And if I might add, there'll be some growing pains this winter, too, as sideways snows, go over that covered playground, and our nice matting is iced up. We're not sure exactly what that means yet. We'll have some questions for the architect to help us plan that. It's going to be a learning curve all the way around until we figure things out. It's just the first winter.
Lots of work, lots of ideas, and lots of possibilities. And like I say, this whole back area to me is something that this community, I think, could really get behind. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have talked about this, like I say, for years. So it's very doable. I think if we could pool a lot of resources, manpower, people could potentially help out with rock or,
Do you have an estimated cost just for that track project at all?
We don't have the full cost for it. Because, of course, the fill is going to be the expense.
And timing, too.
And timing, and and what that might look like, so.
Yeah. Is that a full-size track that you're planning, or is it?
It's not full-size, no, and it can't be.
On the front?
No, because what you run into is this here, which is the wetland, and so across this...
elevation falls off sharply.
And there's a lot of permitting there that we did look at that at one of the first options or investigations we did years ago was into that. And you can do it, but there's a lot of permitting things that you have to do there. And even that, it's a pretty significant amount that does go out into the trees. I don't know, there's going to be a lot of costs associated with trying to deal with this part. So it's not a full size.
I think it's been an age-old problem for the community. When I look back at conceptual plans for the elementary school was built in the 60s, they had a track back there. And when they built this addition in the 80s, they talked about making a track back there. Yeah. So every time, I think it's been expense that the community's been hard to find
so
money for.
Long and tried to make it be a more usable space. And some options for some soccer back there. I mean, like I say, Parks and Rec is interesting. I think there's some opportunities for us to pool some resources and creative thinking. Yeah, that's what I think, so.
Again, we'd just like the community to know that we are going to adapt and we will listen and try to do what we can to improve the situation year after year.
Yep.
Looks beautiful, actually.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Every one of the changes is just lovely. It's nice. But it's different, so there are different places on here that are different for kids. And
any other questions on the report? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. All right, we'll move into school board committee reports. Cheryl is excused, so there's no crisis. Katie, has curriculum met at all?
We did. I forget what day it was now, though. But yeah, we met, and I was only able to stay for about 45 minutes, unfortunately. But we met with and discussed specifically the math curriculum and how they're going to be formatting all of their curriculum and stuff to go with the current standards and everything. And so during my time in the meeting, it was really nice to see all these minds working together, and it was really exciting. And so we look forward to a report from them at some point, hear about how they're going to be adapting their curriculum to meet current standards and where they want the math to be going.
Okay. Facilities, Jay, did you guys meet?
We haven't met recently, no.
I think so. Legislative, so as you know, the election happened, and we will still, it looks like we're going to retain our representative for this area, Jonathan Christ Tompkins. And one thing that I learned while we were at the
annual meeting was that one of the school districts has an annual sit-down with their representative before they go into session as a board. So I thought that that might be an interesting thought for us, especially if we get come together with some goals or if we come together with some legislative ideas that we can meet them face-to-face. I know that some of us have attended his coffee shop times individually, but it might be nice in a show of force if we meet with him together as an entire board if it fits with people's schedules. So they will convene in this winter. So there is no negotiations happening right now. Policy, Sarah, did have you guys met or set a date?
No, we haven't. I guess it was kind of hope we should.
Yeah.
See where we're at. I haven't been on the policy committee for a few years, so.
Okay. Technology, Jay?
Yeah, recently. What else?
Okay. And wellness, Katie, did you
They
guys?
Did meet last week, but I had a child homesick, so I wasn't able to make that meeting.
You weren't able to make the wellness meeting. You weren't well.
Your child wasn't well.
All right. Great. So I don't think we have any special recognitions this evening, and no old business, so we'll move into new business. Fiscal year 2019 grant awards acceptance. Director of Finance Karen Quitzlin will provide a PowerPoint presentation overview of the fiscal year 2019 grant awards. I move that we accept the fiscal year 19 grant awards as presented by Superintendent Clute Painter and the Finance Director Karen Quitzlin. Is there a second to open for a discussion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Take it away.
So in your board packet, you actually have the grant awards, but they're really hard to read unless you are an auditor or do my job. So we thought we would actually go through each of the grants for the listening audience and for the board so you can see what some of our other special revenues are from. So go ahead, Erica. So just to give you an idea that we receive almost $9 million through general fund, and we receive, that also includes the special revenue, which is the grants. So we receive just over $500,000 in grants. That's 9% of our overall funding pie.
Six.
See, I told you.
I know she's such
a I can't read it, to be honest.
I gave her a paper copy.
I know. I have my paper copy. I didn't look at it. Sorry. So this pie here represents all of the grants that we do receive. So that $513,000, approximately 6% of our overall funding, is this pie here. So we have three really large grants. Our Title 6B is 28% of our grants. Our ESSA Title 1A is 24% of our overall grant sources. And ESSA Title 1C, which is our migrant program, that's 23%.
And 6B is special ed.
Special ed, yep.
And Title 1A is like the school-wide reading and the family engagement nights and that sort of thing. So,
we do have a slide for each one of these grants that are represented in this pie. So one of our grants is the suicide prevention grant, and I think we've had that grant for at least 6 or 7 years.
This is year six.
Year six, okay. And it primarily focuses on the middle and the high school program. And those funds of $27,770 cover counseling services for our middle and high school students. It also funds a middle school curriculum, PBIS awards, which is the positive behavior
intervention support.
Thank you. And travel for the SAP conference, which we were able to send Jenna to this year, so that she's getting a great awareness of this program as well. And then we partner with a new grant that we just received this year. It used to be the Healthy Living Grant, and we split the cost for the School Climate and Connectedness Survey. So half of that gets funded through the suicide prevention, and the other half gets funded through the School Health and Academic Achievement Award, which is the next grant.
the counseling services are, some of those services are actually, that's where we have some of the clinicians from Petersburg Mental Health actually have some, have office hours in our school, and they provide a different sort of support for students that's above and beyond educational counseling. So, you guys have any questions about anything on there?
So the School Health and Academic Achievement Award is a new grant for us this year. The focus is on the whole child wellness. Erica, do you want to talk about this one a little bit?
Yeah, so this is one that, this is new this year, and really where this stemmed from is after the funding dried up in the Department of Health and Human Services, the grant that took over to fund for the Healthy Living Grant, the one that Ginger Evans administered, this was a way of, I mean, that was an $85,000 a year grant, but this is $15,000, and so it was a way that they were able to, they actually work through the school nutrition, and it's a they keep finding different ways to sort of continue to provide some financial support to districts who are continuing to work on these sorts of things and, for students. So we applied for it and were awarded this fall, and I believe they think that it will probably continue to be funded. I think, don't you think? Like maybe, you know. So there's some money that, you know, can come toward it. I don't know, Terry, if you want to add anything else on that from your meeting or when you guys were up there.
Well, they're very supportive from the state, so they're kind of guiding us through this and making sure that we get all the paperwork in and, you know, how to spend the funds.
Yeah, and fairly open, right, as far as what things, mm-hmm. you know, kind of really want it to be dependent on what people want in their own schools. So some conversation about before and after school programs here, possibly, and some different ideas there. And then outside of that, then there was also, they paid, on top of the $15,000, they actually paid for Terry, Ginger, and Carly to attend that School Health and Wellness Institute in October. So that's in addition to.
Which is great professional development for our staff.
Yep.
So I'm learning a lot about ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act, because there's a lot more reporting requirements with that. The state is still figuring out. It comes down from the federal government, but the state is compiling the components for requirements. So one of the things that we did this year, which is new, is we made Racy Stedman a school-wide program. And so all elementary students are receiving the services of this program. And it currently funds a reading paraprofessional at the elementary school, reading callback for both of the kindergarten teachers. We have a certified reading specialist that's partially funded out of this grant as well. Books and supplies. The Linda Mood Bell training and the materials were funded out of this grant. And the science family night was funded out of this, and we anticipate to do at least two more engagement nights.
Okay. Any questions there? Any other comments? This is one that is most primarily elementary, so.
And Erica, can you go back?
Yeah.
We should probably talk about, we did reap funds out of two other grants that we received.
Oh, yes.
And we put them into Title I-A so that we would have a more robust program. That we received, I believe it was $27,000 in Title II-D, which is professional development, mm-hmm. which is why we put the Linda Mood Bell training component into Title I. And then the other one we received was Title IV. And that was, what, $10,000?
Mm-hmm.
And we also moved that in because we were funding these things, not all of these things already, but we were funding the staffing already with the old No Child Left Behind, but it wasn't covering the full cost of the program. Mm-hmm. So by going school-wide and reaping these funds, which basically means we moved those funds out of those other grants and moved it into this Title I-A, we're able to provide a much more robust program.
Yeah.
Title I-C is our migrant program. And the services, one of the biggest things with the migrant program is all the services have to be provided above and beyond what's normally offered to all students. And these are for families that are involved in fishing, logging, and agricultural industries. This program currently funds a certified reading specialist. We have a migrant recruiter and records manager. We have a migrant middle high school liaison. So that's Carly Beyer, and actually the one above the migrant recruiter and records manager is Carly Johnson. And then Eliza is the certified reading specialist, just to give a little bit more context. We provide after-school and weekend tutoring as needed. It also helps cover the sub-cost for migrant-related travel. We also have counseling services that are provided for our migrant-eligible students. RTI and ASTE professional development, those are two conferences that some of the staff from the elementary school will be able to attend. UAA and UAF college planning trip. Rick talked about that. We took some students to those schools, and they were able to see them, and then also it helps for college planning for them. We're hoping to send students to AVTEC, which is Alaska Voc-Tech Institute, and again, that's career planning for migrant students. It also funds materials and supplies for parent engagement nights, books and supplies for the reading program, supplies for the plasma cutter that we purchased last year with this program. It also covers AP exam costs for our migrant-eligible students, activity fees and travel assistance when needed, and we're hoping to provide AMSI and CPR training as well for migrant students.
So is the fund total based on the number of migrant students we have, or is it just because we have migrant children?
It's a pretty intense process of qualifying kids for it, so that whole piece about migrant recruiting, and the more students that qualify and the more that you're able to fill out the paperwork and they actually qualify, that's what provides you with that amount of dollars.
So the more kids you have in the program, mm-hmm. the more...
Yep, the more kids that qualify, okay. the more money we have.
And do you know how many nights... I heard that you spend a certain number of nights out fishing to qualify. Is that, do you know what the date is?
I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I think it's seven.
That's what I was thinking,
yeah.
too,
and
seven.
There's a whole bunch of... There's some qualifications that have to do with areas, mm-hmm. and there's some real specific things that have to happen. So if you have any questions about that, though, you check with Carly Johnson or Eliza Wormack. They will be... lead you through that process.
And they're really good about communicating about all of that stuff too.
Yeah.
Always really
open out. I would say the last few years we have really, I mean, this is like our little shining star, I think. And we have to toot the horn of a lot of people uh-huh. who have worked on this, because it's gone from the box of books in the corner that Irene and I had, in 2001 to
and the money, the money has increased.
Really good programs that are happening for our kids and really accessible. Some pretty exciting things.
Previously, with No Child Left Behind, the money was not, there was not that much in the program, so it was really hard to actually find positive ways to impact students' lives with that money. So we are super proud of this program, because last year it had blossomed, and this year I feel like we really have a plan in place. And there's more to the program, which actually, if you want to go to the next mm-hmm. slide, we can kind of talk about it. So we actually have a local parent, Katrina Miller, who is actually on the Parent Advisory Council for this program. And so we also receive funds for her to be able to travel and participate in the program and give her input and also bring back input for the district, which has
been
very beneficial.
She's already been to two meetings, and we already met a couple weeks ago, and she's really involved in helping with the parent night that's coming up. And so, kind of builds that momentum. And she's the voice, she's the Southeast voice. So she's the Southeast rep on that committee. So that's pretty exciting, too. It's great.
And then in addition, we do receive a Migrant Book Award of $3,600. And that's typically how that works, is the migrant students are given a gift certificate, not an actual cash gift certificate, but like one made in-house, and they can take it to the Scholastic Book Fair, or they can take it to Singley Alley, and they can purchase their own books that they choose.
Yep.
Title 6B, that is our support services for our special education students. Currently, these funds are used, a portion of our district sped program director is funded through there. Substitute costs for our sped teachers to work on IEPs and reports. Okay.
There's a weird spelling thing that I can't stand.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's...
Okay. Contracted services with CERC. We have speech and psychology services that come down from different areas and work with our students. Contracted services with Petersburg Mental Medical Center, for nutrition and physical therapy support services. Supplies and materials to support our SPED program as well. And then Section 619 preschool, this funding has greatly reduced over the last couple of years. So we use it for supplies and materials to support our preschool SPED students. Any questions on that slide?
When the cursor is frozen, I would fix that. Look at that. It won't let me over.
Can you tab down? Yay!
I can't get into it to edit it. It's bugging me.
Karen, do you know percentages of how many students qualify for Title 6B?
Where are we? Oh, back here?
Percentage of students in the district?
I don't.
Well, and the thing that you have to be aware of here is that this covers all any... the gamut. So, but that doesn't cover everything we spend on special education.
No.
That's the first thing I guess we would say, or I would want to say. And then the other thing is special services can include everything from a student who has an articulation, an IEP for speech, like just for articulation, you know, like maybe a list or something like that, all the way, you know, to a significant cognitive learning disability. So.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but we service students that don't necessarily have IEPs with this. They may have some other learning disability or...
It depends on whether, we have students who qualify for 504s, which has fewer requirements but still protections for students and families.
So our CTE grant, which is the Career Technical Education, is $15,000, and it currently funds the aquaculture classes. This is not the staffing in it. This is supplies and materials, the metals shop program, culinary arts program, the CNA program. In the budget, there is extra work days for the CTE teachers because there's a lot of planning that they have to do and curriculum work that they have to do for this program. And it funds supplies and materials for the programs. And occasionally, we do purchase bigger pieces of equipment for the program. Usually in the spring, we get an additional allocation of $3,000 as well. Indian Education Program, this is a federal program. We received $28,551, and it currently funds a portion of the middle school and high school counselor. It supports cultural activities such as the paddle making class, Elizabeth Paratrovich celebration in Sitka. We send students to that the last 2 years, and this year we're hoping to do a local Elizabeth Paratrovich reenactment locally. So. Another federal program that we receive is called Rural Education Achievement Award, and that currently funds professional development for our staff, and this year we're going to use it for RTI and the ASTE conferences.
And RTI is the Response to Intervention, the Effective Instruction Conference, and that's in January, and then the other one is the ASTE, that's the Tech Conference in February. Yes.
Is that truly an award because of something that we did, or is it because, I mean, you filled out an application criteria?
We fill out an application every year, and we've been awarded it, I think, at least the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And it certainly helps when we're looking at a shrinking budget with our general fund to be able to continue some professional
and
development.
And it's specifically for professional development, so we really can't use it for anything else.
I was just wondering if it was because we're doing so awesome rurally.
In some of these awards, we probably would have actually brought them to you a month or two ago, but we actually didn't have all the awards mm-hmm. completed, and it's easier to present all of it at once rather than just doing two or three as they trickle in. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, deed staff professional development. Previously, we've actually built this into our general fund, and actually, when we started the year out, it is in our general fund. When I do the revision, I'll be pulling those funds out, because the more I got to thinking about it, these funds are designated for one purpose only, and that's to send our staff to professional development that the state actually requires us to attend. So, our school safety summit, we were able to send a team of seven, I believe, to that, and the Department of Education funded that. It does cover the migrant meetings that Carly Johnson goes to and Eliza Warmack. It's funded through this professional development grant. The career and technical meetings for CTE that John and Dave just went to, it's funded through this professional development grant as well. And then we have Alice Kumps, who's working on the Alaska Science Standards with the state, so it also pays for her meetings as well.
Is that a new meeting, the science standards?
It's fairly new. I mean, I think it's because, well, Rick, maybe you can.
You
oh, there she is.
Hi. Because Dean has decided that it's time for a new rewrite of the science standards. It's been 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Or even longer.
Yeah.
We were the last ones to be updated for the state standards, so. Mm-hmm. And you've gone to two or three?
I've gone to three.
Yeah.
So one more, our last meeting will be in January.
Okay.
So the state reimburses us for all these trips.
Any other questions on those?
And of course, there's a whole team of us that put these grants together, and so special appreciation and thanks need to go to Terry Tolan, Rick Dormer, Bridget Woodstock, Rachel Etcher, Jenna Turner, Eliza Warmack, Carly Johnson, Jamie Cabral, Ginger Evans, and of course Superintendent Erica. She does a ton of work on all of these grants.
Thank you. Really?
So it's pretty neat to be part of this whole process, because we have quite an amazing team, and we're really fine-tuning our grants. Mm-hmm. And we have been increasing the funding.
Yeah,
so
we really have. It's pretty, it makes it somewhat worth it, because it's pretty long. The paperwork part of it does continue to expand every year.
Yeah, I think if the average, if any resident moves, I love a CTE or any type of grant, and saw the ridiculous reporting that all of us are piecing together, lots of people are involved in these, kind of go, oh, wow, not that we're not looking for appreciation, but it's over the top what you would expect, especially federally funded grants.
Yeah, federal grants.
Federal government.
With all these grants, I know they have stipulations. Yeah.